Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But this gets back to something that I think is true in sports. You end up hating a team's fans more than you end up hating the team itself. And I just think Browns fans, jealousy is a great call. I think Browns fans have such a twisted, jaded jealousy that has spawned hatred towards the Steelers. Because we have all the nice things that they don't, and we're so close by, we're virtually neighbors in terms of like NFL geography.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me dislike them, hate them, and want them to continue this interminable string of being one of the worst NFL franchises, on and on and on again. So like the Bengals, for example, you brought this up, I think, yesterday. Obviously, it was very, 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 very acute as far as like the dislike when
it was
there
was a blood
head hunting.
It was a blood feud.
Yeah, it was.
There was no respect there. That was like
it was
genuine
a vicious rivalry,
genuine nastiness and cruelty.
Yeah, but that's dormant now. So I don't hate the Bengals the way that I did 10 years ago. The Bengals, unless there's a situation like that, the Bengals are kind of the odd team out for me. You know, it's like the Ravens and the Browns are the teams that there's always constant hate for. The Ravens because they're usually good, and so are the Steelers. And the Browns because of the proximity. And then the Bengals is more of like the kind of seasonal rival.
Well, they're not
a rival for all seasons.
The Bengals is more dependent on who they have as players. When they're led by Joe Burrow, he's not cheap-shotting players. When he's healthy, you're mad because he's really good and he makes life difficult on you. When it was perfect, it was a different story and Pac-Man and guys like that. I think even in the case of the Browns and the Ravens to a degree, the hatred does flow through who the players are. I don't hate the Ravens now as much as I did when Ray Lewis was a central figure there. Lamar doesn't go around like woofing at the Steelers sideline. He doesn't do the stupid squirrel dance that Ray Lewis did. Did you see, by the way, how pissed they got when the Texans made fun of that?
Yeah. How about you keep him from scoring touchdowns,
right,
Ravens?
But I just like, okay, so when it's defined by Ray Lewis and Terrell Suggs, even though there's some small part of me that like always laughed at Suggs and thought it was kind of a funny act.
Bart
I hated
Scott.
That. I hated those teams more than this current Ravens team because it's defined by a guy who's just a really good offensive weapon. Myles Garrett is really good, and he did something really bad to Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, that's another good point.
But
they've got that guy.
Well, I was trying
to put your quarterback in the hospital.
But I was gonna say, absent that very isolated and very bad incident, he doesn't make it a habit every single game of I'm going to like step on a guy with my cleats and you know like do an Alfred Hainsworth
sure
or something like that. And so because there's not like an eminently hateable routine offender kind of guy, cheap shot artist, etc., it's just Garrett doing one thing one time that was acute and very bad. I can't gin up the hatred there. I think their fans are almost pitiable, if anything.
Donnie, Aaron Rodgers has no hatred in the Steelers-Browns rivalry. You agree?
I mean, he's new to it. I mean, I know that he compared it to what he dealt with in the NFC North, but it's kind of hard for a player or, I mean, really anybody who hasn't been involved in it ever to know the answer.
Do you think he's right?
Wait, are you asking me if I think Aaron Rodgers is right?
Yeah, do you think that there is no hatred?
I feel like there always is.
Okay. Yeah.
I think the analog, though, Donnie, is when he talked about Detroit, you could hear him just say, yeah, we wanted to beat Detroit,
it's
but
just
there was
a team
nothing
we play
there.
Twice a year is pretty much the way he made it sound.
But I think
I don't look at the Browns as just a team the Steelers play
but
twice
I think
a year.
Right now Detroit does not have that designation for anybody in the North anymore because they've turned into the bullies on the block. If by some, and I guess because it happened to the Lions, it could happen for the Browns. If by some miracle the Browns got their bleep in order in a massive way, hired like a Dan Campbell equivalent, a culture-changing coach, got real good real fast and started like mugging the Steelers twice a year, where you felt like if we get one of these, we'll be lucky, the hatred would swell in a hurry on this end of things. It is just very hard to dislike a team that is gnat on windshield at 80 miles an hour. Incidentally, Donnie, would you like to answer the trivia question of who the only Browns head coach is to beat Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh during his tenure? The guy had to have acted as the head coach that day.
Wait, acted as the head coach?
The acting head
coach. Yeah, because yes, Stefanski
was in his basement 45 seconds behind live action. Do you remember the name of the Browns special teams coordinator who actually ran the team that day?
No.
I know Pony's got it. Mike Prefer.
Yeah, I knew it was something like that.
I don't know. I don't know why. I was thinking back, even though you mentioned Tomlin, I was thinking back to like the last time they won a regular season game and was thinking, wasn't that Butch Davis?
03 is the last time they came here and won a regular season game.
Hold on.
Was that Butch Davis?
Yeah, that would have been Butch. If either
of you. Because that was the year after they played the playoff game here.
If either of you can tell me. If either of you can tell me what Mike Prefer is doing and for who right now, where he is the current special teams coordinator, you'll win a cookie.
I think he had some kind of scandal after he left he left the Browns.
He might have, but I think he is currently employed.
I think he's out of the NFL. I think he's like in Europe somewhere.
He's in college. He's in major college football.
He's North Carolina special teams
yes!
coordinator.
Yes!
I had a funny feeling that was it. Yeah. He's one of those assistant coaches who's looking for another job right now, apparently. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Watch your local NFL game all season long with this week's big-time matchup between the Browns and Steelers. Ian Eagle and J.J. Watt on the call. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And the second game of that doubleheader will be the Packers and Bengals. Joe Flacco's Bengals debut. Kevin Harlan will call that game at 4:25 on Sunday. Aaron Rodgers said Patrick Queen told him that there's no hatred in Steelers-Browns. Just kind of a blah rivalry. You guys agree with that? 412-928-9370. I did just bring up Joe Flacco. I will confess something here. With news continuing to funnel out of Cleveland that it looks like they're going to bring Bailey Zappe up from the practice squad and Shedeur Sanders is going to be stuck as the third quarterback, I do have to admit that I was wrong about the Steelers using a pick on Sanders, which live while the draft was happening and he kept falling. I kept thinking, all right, pull the trigger here and take him in the third round. I mean, I probably even said that about the second round. Like, come on, do it. He's value at this point. He's a first round caliber quarterback. He's not. I don't think he's ever going to be.
I thought he was worth a second round pick. I think I even said.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm so far off that bandwagon.
Well, it's pretty
now.
Damning that they don't feel like he's ready to be an NFL backup because it wasn't like he – in fact, it was well documented that he wasn't a great athlete who just needed to learn how to play the position. If anything, he had learned to play the position pretty well and had like a fair amount of polish, and the thing preventing him from being a high pick was primarily the lack of top-drawer traits. So if you get to the NFL, it's kind of like how Kenny was supposed to be, and I hate bringing it back to him, but he was supposed to have a lot of like the intangible stuff down. He worked hard. He knew the playbook. He would make the right decision. When you realized he actually wasn't doing that in games, it was like, well, what are you left with here? It's pretty damning, too, that Dylan Gabriel, who is maybe 5'11 on his best day, is that far ahead of him. Because you would think, like, in Jimmy Haslam's weird little world, they probably would have wanted to give Sanders every chance to win the backup job or to, like, rocket up the depth chart because it's an entertainment product, right? you want to put asses in seats.
I'm surprised he hasn't intervened and forced them to make sure they're the backup or starter.
Doesn't that just tell you how bad it must or how far off he must be? Does to me.
Yeah.
And so, like, they want to sell jerseys. They want to sell merch. They want to do – I know they sold a ton of them anyway, I'm sure. But, like, if the guy was even close to being good enough right now, I think he'd be starting.
Here's Art in Pittsburgh on Steelers-Browns. Hello, Art. Here is Bob on Steelers-Browns. Hello, Bob.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
We're good. We're good, Bob.
Good. Listen, here's my take on the Browns. First of all, I'm 54 years old. So my memory of the Browns growing up was Brian Sipe and that crew.
Sure. The Cardiac Kids.
I hated them. I can't hate that franchise because, I mean, I don't want to sound like an idiot, but they stink. If they were relevant, maybe. But I can't hate them.
Do you want to know something else that makes it tougher for me to hate them? And I know this is, like, not going to go over well with some of our listeners. Having a team ripped away from you by an owner who just wanted to get the hell out of Dodge, I think, is pretty rough on any fan base. Like, I think if you're just a fan of your own team...
I don't empathize with the Browns for that.
I absolutely empathize with their fans. They didn't want them to leave.
I know, but I never... That's so far in the rearview mirror for me. Like, when a Browns fan talks crap on me, I don't think to myself, well, I get it. This guy's had a rough life. He didn't have his team for five years.
They got their team back, you know, because the NFL realized kind of how monumental of a screw-up that was, but I still think that just sucks for any fan base.
By what you're saying, though, I don't know if you're a college football fan. By that logic, Penn State fans can't hate Pitt, right?
Well.
Right? I mean, Pitt's really never good. Why would you? You're saying the Browns are never good, so you can't hate Cleveland then. Why would Penn State fans hate Pitt?
Well, let me try to spin it this way. Because when they came in, they haven't been good since they came back into the league here. So to me, the rivalry kind of went away.
And Pitt hasn't been good since the early 80s. Thanks for the call. I mean, if that's your barometer for whether or not a rivalry can exist, if a team's not good, the rivalry dies. How can Penn State fans hate Pitt then, Chris?
Don't you think college rivalries are a little different? They're not just about necessarily like every result on the field. It's perceived superiority. Pitt fans have, to just use the example, lorded over West Virginia, and they have a very famous upset that kept West Virginia out of a national title game, just like they have an upset. Not an upset. They were actually, like, favored.
Sure.
That kept Penn State out of a college football playoff.
Yeah.
But, like, West Virginia, I think, had success over Pitt for a long time, and Pitt fans still look down their nose at them. Like, you are inferior to us as a school. Going to Pitt is better than going to West Virginia.
Yeah, but you're saying, like, they're finding, like, lifestyle things.
Yeah, I think that's how college rivalries work. That's why even if Penn State Penn State knows that Pitt is this annoying nuisance in the back of their minds.
I don't think NFL rivalries are that different. I mean, people here will bring up, oh, like, Cleveland. Why would you ever want to live in Cleveland? That city sucks. Like, that absolutely comes up.
Well, yeah, the mistake on the lake is right, just, I mean, like, a clever catchphrase.
No, but I mean, like, it part of the rivalry is, let's say, derisive, derogatory things about
But I don't think it's nearly to the extent that college rivalries are defined by that kind of petty stuff.
Here is Colin in Dormont. Hello, Colin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I'm probably going to wind up repeating some of the stuff that was said, but I was born in 1990, so I wasn't alive for any of the good Browns teams, like in the back half of the 80s. My entire existence has basically been one big, you know, joke at Cleveland's expense when it comes to football. It's like I hate them the same way I hate a fruit fly in my kitchen, where it's like in the moment, like when you're buzzing right in front of my face, it's like the most annoying thing in the world. And as soon as you're gone, I have so many more important things to concern myself with, and you can just kind of like do whatever you want. And if you're drawing the college football comparison, if I can slander my own team, I think it's how Ohio State views Penn State, where it's like you think there's something there, and there's just like absolutely not. Like, you annoy us for one Saturday a season, and then we're going to concern ourselves with the bigger picture. So I don't know if hatred is the right word. Maybe you hate the fan base because they act like dogs, like literal dogs, and that like what right, like I don't know what they think that's still like endearing, or you know whatever it is, but that's about all I can muster in terms of the energy even toward the conversation.
They're apparently their new stadium's going to have like an enhanced or redone dog pound. I think the people who are in the dog pound shouldn't be allowed to use like indoor plumbing. They should have to go on like a grassy area outside the dog pound. If you want to act like a dog,
they should be allowed to bring their actual dogs to the game.
If you want to act like a dog and dress like a dog, you should have to relieve yourself like a dog. By the way, go back to this college thing one more time. If pro rivalries were truly like college rivalries, once the Patriots got good with Belichick and Brady and had that run,
right,
it should have never stopped being a rivalry. Now, when the Patriots were on this year's schedule, I was just like, yeah, man, hope we win that game. There was none of the hatred.
Yeah,
but
they're not a division team.
Sure, but they were a team you were aspiring to be that you could never get over the top against. And
right.
I think that was only defined by the guys who were there at the
time. I agree with that.
I think college rivalries aren't limited to the players at that
point
in time.
Okay, so let's say let's just go with what Colin said. I can only work up a dislike for the Browns when we're playing them on Sunday.
Temporary
and then,
nuisance,
and then they're gone.
Until we see the fruit fly again.
So if the Browns are not, for Steelers fans, in the category of I hate that team, how many teams are?
I still think the Ravens are, and probably...
So one team.
Probably the Ravens.
That's it.
Yeah.
There's only one team in the NFL that Steelers fans hate.
The rest of them are all, like, I would call it more like measuring stick teams. Like, you might measure yourselves against the Chiefs. And hope you can get good enough to be in their class, their weight class, the Bills. But I think you've kind of got one true rival, and it's Baltimore. Just the NFL is like so... The entire point of the league is that you're going to have new teams cycling through regularly who are good in a given year. I just think it makes it very hard to have something like, for example, Colts-Patriots, which straddled a change in division formats. Even when they got separated, there was still a rivalry there.
Yep.
You know, Steelers and Jags used to be a rivalry, and it didn't survive the change from AFC Central to AFC South and North.
Right.
Ravens and Steelers did, and because both teams are good, the rivalry has been sustained. But I just don't think the NFL is set up to have a ton of them.
Which is why I think when they're in your division and this close and their fans talk the way that they do,
do you think the Niners have a big rivalry with the Cardinals? They're in the same division. Cardinals actually win games against them too.
No, I don't. But I also just said I don't think the Steelers have a big rivalry with the Bengals. I think the Browns are the Steelers' second biggest rival.
Yeah,
and
I
if
don't.
You don't hate your second biggest rival, well then, okay, you only hate one team in the NFL, apparently. But then I get told by people, oh, Steelers fans don't hate the Ravens. They actually respect the Ravens. I hear that, too. Didn't Bechtold say that last year? We don't hate the Ravens. We respect the Ravens.
I mean,
we want to shake their hands after the game and pat them on the ass and say, great game all the way around. That was fun for 60 minutes.
No, I only ever use that like comparison when if I was strictly talking about how you view the Ravens versus how you view the Bengals, because you could at least hear some grudging respect, even though there was a lot of legitimate dislike with Steelers-Ravens. There was never anything resembling respect for the...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Perfect Bengals team.
The Browns have not won a regular season game in Pittsburgh since 2003. Where were you in 2003? I was a senior in high school. Malzy, you?
Freshman in college.
Donnie, you?
I was 8 years old.
There you have it. It's been a long-ass time. So that has prompted today's power ranking. Top five most one-sided rivalries in Pittsburgh sports. I'll start number five. This is going to surprise some people. That's why it's not one, two, or three for me. That's why it's on the list, but down at five. Capitals, Penguins. Yeah, we talk about Sidney Crosby versus Alexander Ovechkin. That's cool. Yeah, the last time they played in the playoffs was 18. Yep. And the Capitals won and went on to win the Stanley Cup.
I was there when Kuznetsov scored the winner.
That blows. They've played 11 times in the playoffs. The Penguins have won 9 of those series. 9 of 11 over their rival many times. That was the impetus, the jumping off point to win Stanley Cups. In fact, the last 3 times the Penguins won the Stanley Cup. That's exactly what happened. Yes, actually that's a lie. All 5 times they went on to, now that I think about it, all 5 times they've won the Stanley Cup, they've beaten the Capitals in the playoffs on their road there. That's got to be really depressing when you are the Capitals. At least you have the Ovechkin silver chalice win with him to hang your hat on. But other than that, it's really been all Penguins when these two teams have met in any meaningful series, whether it's Olaf Kolzig, Jim Carrey,
Olaf Kolzig,
or Braden Holtby and Nett. It's mostly been all Penguins, and that's why I am putting Penguins Caps number 5 on my list of Pittsburgh one-sided rivalries. Malzi, 4.
Man, you really threw me for a loop there. I did have a couple of hockey ones on here, and so I'm actually going to go with this one. I think most people are assuming I was going to pick, like, negative ones where the Pittsburgh team is the one being dominated.
Why?
I don't know, because people associate me with negativity.
Mm.
I am going to do another hockey one, though, Pony. Penguins and Blue Jackets.
Yeah, I thought about that.
Columbus tried to make that a rivalry.
One problem.
Actually, more than one. They never won when it mattered. They were just they were hammer, meat, nail for the Penguins in the first round of the playoffs. You would just basically see that matchup materialize. And, okay, moving on. Like, they just tortured Bobrovsky during his time there.
Yep.
He was horrid in the playoffs. The fact that he's turned into a pretty nails postseason goalie is pretty stunning with the way they would turn him into just toast. They would bring that dumb cannon, although I've never been to their arena. I heard it's like a really good NHL arena. I've heard great things about the actual viewing experience. Yes. But every time my buddies would go on a road trip there for a Penguins Blue Jackets game, same thing every time. Dude, it was 70% Penguins fans. What a demoralizing thing to not be able to beat a team on the ice, and they are driving 3 hours and just straight up owning your arena. Very lopsided.
Donnie, number 3, Penguins, or not Penguins, Pittsburgh. Maybe it will be Penguins. Pittsburgh, one-sided sports rivalries.
All right, I got a little bit of a funny one here, and you guys know that I love Division III football. I played Division III football. I still call Division III football.
Let's get Teal in the mix here.
Oh,
Come on, Teal, baby.
I didn't go quite that far away with Teal, but I did go a little bit down the road. The PAC backyard brawl between Waynesburg and W&J. W&J has won 48 of the last 52 meetings, or actually 48 of the 52 all-time meetings. They have won 19 of the last 20, and they are on a current 10-game streak in that series.
Can you imagine the pressure?
Were you on the team that last beat them?
Yes, 2014.
Can you imagine the pressure W&J players must feel in the game if they're actually threatened with, like, a loss at the hands of Waynesburg? Like, you'll be known as one of the very few teams in school history to lose to them.
Donnie, did you guys party your nuts off in the locker room after that one?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, I mean, it was the high point for pretty much everybody. Like, from a freshman in that game, or, like, you know, just a freshman associated, like, with the team, and a senior who played 50 career games or whatever it would be, like, that is that's the high point for everybody, because it was they last won in 2003, and then 2014 was the next time, and I feel like it's going to go even longer. And
were you guys big underdogs in that game?
No, I wouldn't say big underdogs, because there were games in the early 2010s when it really started to become like great football for that level.
Uh-huh.
So, like, every single game would be very competitive, but W&J almost always won. We beat them in 2014. It really hasn't been a close game since then.
Gotcha. All right, number two for me is Steelers-Browns. I didn't put it one. I've got it number two on my list of Pittsburgh one-sided sports rivalries. In the 1970s and 80s, the Steelers had a streak of winning 16 straight games in Pittsburgh against the Browns. That streak, I think, was snapped in 1986, I want to say. And now we've got one that has run from all of Mike Tomlin's 18 years as coach and then into the last few years of Bill Cowher's tenure as coach, where it's been two decades without a loss here in Pittsburgh in a regular season game to the Browns. Ben Roethlisberger lost how many times, period,
to the Browns?
He had, at one point, he had more wins in Cleveland Browns Stadium than any started, Browns quarterback.
Mayfield finally grabbed that title barely.
Which was one of my favorite stats in all of sports, when he was the quarterback with the most wins there. So, yeah, I mean, ever since they've come back, really, if you think about our, not even our lifetimes, if you think about since the merger, okay, like post Jim Brown and the inception of the Super Bowl itself, how many times has there really been, how often have the Steelers and Browns both been good?
02.
Yep.
07 Browns were good. They missed the playoffs at 10-6.
2020.
2020.
A couple of years ago when the Browns made it and got killed by Houston with Flacco in the playoffs.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, if they had stuck with it with Mayfield, I think they would have ended
2007, they won 10 games.
Yeah, the Derek Anderson team was a good team that just didn't have, kind of bad luck that year to not get in at 10-6.
And then,
other than that, the
02 94.
Team, when they were very good and the Steelers beat them three times, throttled them in the playoffs, I want to say 29-9.
And then you got to go back to 90 through the late 80s.
There was an 80s Steelers team in the same time that the Browns were still really good and having those battles with Denver. There was at least one Steelers team, I feel like, in one of those 2 years that was decent, that Denver barely beat and then went on to play the Browns, I want to say.
Well, in 88, the Steelers lost to them 51-0, came back, beat them again.
I know, I thought one of the Browns teams that lost in the AFC title game, the Steelers were in the playoffs that same year. But maybe I'm confusing years there.
Well, yeah, because every time the Broncos made the Super Bowl back then, they beat the Browns.
Right. So the drive and the fumble.
Yeah, that was 86, 87, and 89. And the Steelers missed the playoffs in all three of those years, I think, didn't
then
they?
I just am misremembering the year.
But still, I mean,
Steelers almost pulled a huge upset of the Broncos in the 80s in the playoffs.
84.
Yeah.
And that was the Browns
weren't the Steelers in the playoffs in 89 when or was that 88 when they upset the Oilers?
That was 88.
Okay, because it was New Year's Eve or whatever. 88.
Because 89 and 90 they missed the playoffs.
Yeah. Okay,
and then
New Year's Eve 88 when I was 3 years old. First Cowher football memory. Gowie Anderson. All right, well, I've got number one here then, huh?
Is number one, do you have the same thing I have as number one?
I'm gonna just show it to you. Don't say it out loud. It's the bottom one on this list.
Yes. I didn't write it the same way as you, but I wrote something similar.
All right.
I don't want to steal your thunder.
My number one rivalry in Pittsburgh sports, most lopsided, is the Pirates versus themselves, dummy. I mean, they have been kicking their own ass since 1979. They haven't won a series.
I wrote Pirates versus competence.
Just the Pirates versus themselves, man.
Okay, so it's kind of funny that we all were thinking along the same lines. I didn't use, that exact one, but three of these five, I had Pirates Cardinals, Pirates Brewers, Pirates Cubs on this list.
I did write Pirates Cardinals on it. I should have put Pirates Brewers.
What about
too, but Pirates, I
Pirates versus
Cardinals.
Pirates versus 500?
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, honestly, it pains me to say this, but I thought to myself, do I buck the trend and actually go with one where another team dominated a Pittsburgh team? Because there's a couple of those, but this was the right answer.
Like Patriots, Steelers?
I thought of this one. I know the Penguins have gotten big wins over this team, but
Islanders?
They went the entire 1980s without winning a game in Philly.
I know.
A whole decade, dude.
I know, but the Flyers have gone 51 years
kids
now.
Kids went from birth to fourth or fifth grade and never saw them win a game in Philly in the regular season.
Crazy.
That is bonkers.
Yeah, it really is.
But no, this was the right answer. I had Patriots Steelers on there, and I had Flyers Penguins, and that was pretty much it. So it was Pirates versus themselves.
None of you guys put Penn State Pitt on there, huh?
not enough games. And yeah. Pitt's one win weighs heavier because it kept a Penn State team out of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's fair. How about you, Don? What was one for you, Steelers-Browns?
I put Steelers-Browns at one.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.